Good evening. I'll tell you what I prepared and threw at the sound technicians half an hour before the program was a nightmare, and they're doing an incredible job. Well, this is what we have left from the crew we had at Narnia. I think we lost more than a few, but they're going to help me out on the very first song we're going to do is called the Gooey Duck Song. In addition to doing most of the songs you're going to hear tonight are my own, this one is not my own, but it's one of my favorite songs that I've collected, because another thing that I do other than writing songs is I collect songs about Washington State. And for Washington's birthday, centennial year, which was last year, we collected, hundreds of songs. And this was a real favorite for a lot of people. It was written by Ron Konzak and the Elfindolls over on Bainbridge Island, and it's called the Gooey Duck Song. So I've got these wonderful people to demonstrate. Did we lose somebody? Who have we got? Where's Jennifer? Jennifer, would you come help on this too? Thank you. Now, I have come to find out that a lot of people who don't live in the Northwest don't really know about the gooey duck. The gooey duck is a rather unique creature. It's not a duck, and it is fairly gooey. It's like a large clam, and it has a long, slender neck, and they're very hard to catch. That's the best we can tell you about it. Now, there are also some, this is an important song to learn, and you will see there are some hand movements that will help you all to do that. How are we doing on sound? So I'm going to teach you this, starting out right away. Dig a duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day, dig a duck. Dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day. Okay, y'all got that? I think I better give them another chance. Okay, everybody. The kids can learn this. You can learn this. Dig a duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day. Dig a duck. Dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck a day. Now it's very important to learn this chorus, and I'll tell you why. This is one of those kind of songs that wakes you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, and you think, how did that go? Dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, duck, dig a gooey. And it'll keep you awake for hours. So it's really important that you learn this chorus. Dig a duck. Dig a duck, dig a gooey duck, dig a duck, dig a gooey duck. right, we're now inviting forward the all-male Dandelion Chorus, of which only two members seem to be present or at least admitting to it. And this is known as the Dandettes for this song. Part of what I did...
Jennifer and Kristen, would you go up by the front mic? Chris, is there another mic to bring forward? I know. We have to do the best we can with what we got. You know?
We're roughing it here at Holden Village. Another thing, after I finished my year of collecting songs for Washington Centennial Year, then the next project I did was writing songs about Washington. And I spent a year going around the state and visiting people and places and historic sites and had a wonderful time. And then at the end of that time, I wrote songs about Washington. And actually, although I claimed this one, I didn't write this next song. This was written mostly by my daughters, Jennifer and Kristen, who are going to sing the solo parts there. And it's not working. They can crowd around one if that doesn't, if you don't get it working. Okay. And this one, because a lot of the songs I wrote, you'll hear some later on, but a lot of them are based on historic incidents. And this is based on the fact that there was a woman named Catherine Maynard, who was married to Doc Maynard, who was one of the early founders of the city of Seattle. And Catherine made her contribution in a rather unique way. This is a good ecology song. This fits our theme, you know, for the summer. I wanted to point that out. That she brought to the Northwest, legend has it, a little flower that had not been in the Northwest until she brought it. And she brought it as sort of a medicinal, herbal kind of flower, for which we are forever grateful. Though some people are not, and they treat them shamefully. So we feel like it's important to do something about that. So Jennifer and Kristen are going to take the lead on this one, and along with the Dandettes and the all-male Dandelion Chorus. This is not easy.
Doodly-doo.
Doodly-doo.
Oh, we're going to readjust microphones here just for a second. Well, the rumor has gotten round that I am pregnant, and it's absolutely true. And the man responsible you just saw in the all-male dandelion chorus, one of those gentlemen, now who could resist, you know, a person like that, you know. But I am just starting my eighth month, and this is sort of a unique experience of giving a concert at this point. But it's also sort of a unique experience to be pregnant at the age of 44. And it's been... and I'm finding it a bit of a struggle. But all in all, we're all pretty excited in our family. My daughters, who you just saw, are 10 and 13. And I figure built-in babysitters are one of the best things I'm getting out of it. But I did write a song for my husband Scott on Father's Day about it. It's called A Matter of Time. Well, who'd ever thought at this time of my life I'd be bearing a child? You, it's the first. I can see how you feel. It's right there in your smile. And I guess I'm excited, and I guess I'm in awe of how life comes around. But this bulge in my belly and a back that just aches keeps my feet on the ground. Back to diapers and nipples, 2 a.m. feedings, squeezing out that last time. Never had enough sleep, never had enough help, about killed me last time. Then I look at our daughters, so tall and so gifted, sweet children of mine. And I think of our loving, the life that we share. Guess now is the time. It took some time and a lot of in spite of it all, the kids are turning out great. So we'll bless this new life, this child of our 40s. We'll take the time. So come down off that cloud and come rub my back. Could you get me some food? Morning, but the baby's been kicking, and it's your baby too. By the way, I've been thinking this baby of ours is gonna be something fine. 'Cause we've learned a few things about raising up kids. I guess now is the time. Kids are turning out great, so we'll bless this new life, this child of our 40s. We'll take the time.
kids are turning out great, so we'll bless this new life, this child of our 40s, we'll take the time. What I particularly love about coming to the Village and doing concerts here are all the incredible resources available. So I grabbed Paul Blankenship and Ruth Blankenship to help me out. Wait a minute, which one? Yeah, that's the one. Okay, to do this next song with me. It's called Mama Wanted to Be a Rainbow Dancer. And this past week, my mother has been here. It's her first time to hold, and she's gone now, unfortunately. I'd introduce you to her. But she had a wonderful week, and we had a wonderful time of connecting. There was a time many years ago, I think in a previous incarnation, that I worked as a singer with a rock and roll band for a very brief time in my history. And when I was doing that, I was playing at some lounges and taverns and bars, and some of them were close to home. Olympia is one of my hometowns. And my mother came to hear me. And as I was singing with the band, and I was watching her, and she was watching me, and there was such a strong connection between us. And I talked to her at the break, and she said, you know, when I was young, what I really wanted to be was a singer with a big band. And I realized how often now women in my generation have the opportunity to live a lot of our mother's dreams that they never had a chance to live. So I wrote this song based on our conversation called Mama Wanted to Be a Rainbow Dancer. Mama wanted to be a rainbow dancer, wanted to be a singer in a thank you.
Called October Roses, and I wrote this one also for my mother and also for my mother-in-law and for myself, because we all have our birthdays in October and we all celebrate them 3 days apart. And as I started easing towards 40, and my mother was just turned 60 and my mother-in-law 70, and we were all quite concerned about that, because in our culture, we have so little affirmation for that process of growing older, especially women. And we're taught that what we need is more makeup, more wrinkle remover cream. It's obscene what this country spends on wrinkle remover cream. So I felt it was time to have a song that would more affirm that process, because truly some of my strongest role models have the greatest wisdom and strength have been older women in my life. So this is a song really for all of us as we go through that process. It's called October Roses.
Sweet memory.
Could I get Dane and Terry up here? And thank you, Paul. I recruited these guys about 20 minutes before the concert started. I'll tell you a little about the song. It's called Arpietas. Now, arpietas, some of you may know, are the pictures. They're made out of fabric. The creature, the people on them and the children are doll-like little creatures. And there are some that you can buy in import stores that are simply nothing more than that, cheerful little village scenes. But the arpietas I'm talking about were created, first started by the mothers and the wives, sisters of the disappeared in Chile. And it was their way of putting, it was their political art, it was their way of putting across, getting outside of Chile what was happening in the country. And they worked through the churches, they created these motifs, and you would on first glance, you would see these doll-like little creatures, and then you would look a little closer, and you would see them digging through garbage cans, or you would see them handing out political pamphlets, and you would realize there was much more than met the eye. And some of them are extremely strong and show the deaths and the disappeared and going to the police station and searching for the disappeared. They're very, very graphic form of political art. So I've been quite moved by the ones that I saw, and I created this song about it called Arpietas. All they gathered, these women of Chile, with bright colored pieces of cloth from the factory. And they talk and they laugh as their fingers move quickly, piecing together these pictures of life. And they sometimes share stories, these women of Chile, of children and husbands who died much too early. And tears and the anger are woven in deep. For the bread of their lives, arpietas, fingers move quickly with bright wool and fabric, sell to the church for a small pot of beans. Arpietas, creating a message for those who would see it, providing a witness to all who have seen. Arpietas, and they gathered for courage, these brave patchwork makers, defying the fruit of bright mystic pictures of villages, children, and casual murders, telling the stories of lives filled with fear. And I sit in my room, I, a woman of privilege, stare at the pictures of a faraway village, and the questions begin, and the tears and the rage, and my heart beats with women whose lives touch my own. Arpietas, fingers move quickly, white wool and fabric, to sell to the church for a small pot of beans. Arpietas, creating a message for those who will see it, providing a witness to all they have seen. Arpietas, the Catholic churches, by the way. There are a number of churches and organizations that do carry arpietas, and if you might search them out where you live, I wish I had that information at my fingertips, exactly where you can get them, but they're very valuable things to support. This next song is called Executive Order 9066. Now, there may be some in this room who remember what that order is. But it was the order given during World War II that mandated that all people of Japanese ancestry would be sent to internment camps. And the first place that this was done was Bainbridge Island here in Washington State. And when I was on Bainbridge, I picked up some stories about that because they have a very active Japanese American community there. And I listened to some of the stories, and then I saw a wonderful traveling exhibit called Kodomo no Tame ni, for the sake of the children. It seems that part of the problem of what happened during this, what has finally been recognized by our government as maybe one of our country's great travesties of civil rights against a group of people. And so reparations are being paid, although a good number of those people, it's just too late to rebuild the shattered lives. And another thing that happened was so many of the older people didn't talk about it. They wouldn't talk about it even with their children. They wouldn't tell about that experience. And it's only recently that they've begun to talk about it for the sake of the children, so that they would know and understand, because they realized their children didn't really know what this experience had been about. So that provided part of the inspiration for this next song, as well as the Bainbridge Island was fairly unique in that there was a very courageous newspaper editor, a couple, the Woodwards, and from the very beginning they spoke out loudly and strongly in editorials and in their paper against what was happening to the Japanese Americans in the community. And though they couldn't change the situation, when the people were sent to the camp, they worked very hard to continue the communication between the community and the people in the internment camps, and to keep letters blowing back and forth, so that at the end of the war, when they came back home, they felt they had a home to come back to, which was fairly unique, because certainly in other parts of the country, they had nothing to come back to. So it's sort of a victorious story, too. So, Executive Order 9066. And there's a part for you. It goes like this. These are our friends and our neighbors, and let justice flow like a river. You'll hear that come around. The order came down in the middle of March. These are friends and our neighbors. All Japanese persons from Bainbridge must part. Let justice flow like a river. The Woodwards spoke out in the Bainbridge Review. These are friends and our neighbors. If they're coming for them, they'll be coming for you. Let justice flow like a river. This island's been home since 1883. These are friends and our neighbors. To Japanese families now called enemy. Let justice flow like a river. They had 10 days to pack and to sell all they owned. These are friends and our neighbors. To leave strawberry farms, small businesses, homes. Let justice flow like a river. Over 200 citizens crowded the dock. These are friends and our neighbors. While soldiers with bayonets guarded their flock. Let justice flow like a river. They were herded like sheep on the ferry that day. These are friends and our neighbors. And the tears and the shame left us few words to say. Let justice flow like a river. To man's and our camp they were taken at last. These are friends and our neighbors. 10,000 people in a square mile of dust. Let justice flow like a river. Young men from the camp joined the army and fought. These are friends and our neighbors. While their families were left on the desert to rot. Let justice flow like a river. After 30 long months they home to go home. These are friends and our neighbors.
ruin and farms overgrown. Let justice flow like a river, but many an islander helped out a friend. Bainbridge Review. These are friends and our neighbors. And here's to the island with the courage to care. Let justice flow like a river. For the sake of the children, the story we tell. These are friends and our neighbors. We must watch out for cracks in the liberty bell. Let justice flow like a
Thank you. I'm going to bring my daughters back up again. They do have names other than my daughters. This is Kristen, and this is Jennifer. And this is a song. And I was asked to sing at a Peace Education Sunday once a while back, and they asked if I knew some peace songs for kids. And you know, I couldn't think of any that felt just right. I think peace is one of those words that gets thrown around and overused, and you kind of lose a grasp of what it means. So I put this song together as an attempt to try and put into words, hopefully children could understand, some of my images of what peace is. And so Jennifer and Kristen are mostly going to sing it. This minute.
Feeling is love. when the whole world is hugging. Oh, won't that be fine? There'll be peace for all humankind.
When the whole world is hugging,
oh, won't that be fine? There'll be peace for all humankind.
Now we're going to shift the stage once more, real quickly. We have a slideshow coming up. Scott Hosrud, who's the director here, liked the song that I wrote when I was at Holden Village last summer and asked if he could use it behind a slideshow. And this is a slideshow I have yet to see. So we decided to do it tonight, and I'll be playing the song, and we'll have the slides up here. So if you'll be patient with us just for a second while we move this out again. We all set. Today I watched a chipmunk who was busy watching me. It took 3 days before I slowed my thoughts enough to see. She was standing up so straight and tall, her eyes were soft as brown, and they held me with a question, and we never made a sound. I saw a man whose hands caressed and shaped a pot of clay. I watched soft as a whisper, then I smiled and stepped away. I heard a voice of wisdom who brought forth the best of me, and I saw two people dancing with a grace I seldom see. And it was God on the mountain, though that may sound strange to you. God was in that village, and I swear it to be true. God, that holy conjurer, what else could I do but talk to you, talk to you. Today I heard an old man laugh, and I heard the clink of steel as a horseshoe left his steady hand and sailed across the field. Today I heard 3 young girls sing like God's own angel band, and I heard the river singing as I held my daughter's hand. It was God on the mountain, though that may sound strange to you. God was in that village, and I swear it to be true. God, that holy conjurer, well, what else could I do but talk to you, talk to you. I don't
Don't think much of heaven, guess this world's enough for me. And hell must be the sorrow that can drive me to my knees. But if heaven is a place, so we'll dress them all in pink, keep them by the kitchen sink, and that'll keep them home like God would have them. Wouldn't it be nice if the next Jesus Christ came down as a woman? Like the people say, if it happened that way, could mankind be saved by a woman? Well, I've always felt it fitting that a woman be submitting to her husband, 'cause that surely is God's plan. Plain unfair to say that the law's laid out that way, 'cause it was written, judged, and sermonized by man. Wouldn't it be nice if the next Jesus Christ came down as a woman? What would people say if it happened that way? Could mankind be saved by a woman? Now I know you may have seen it, but the Bible didn't mean it when it said that male and female are all one. The next thing on the way would be the ERA, and you'd be standing by your mother in the John. Wouldn't it be nice if the next Jesus Christ came down as a woman? What would people say if it happened that way? Could mankind be saved by a woman? Could mankind be saved by a woman?
Thank you. I'm now to the last song. Whew. And I have the help of a very, very fine artist here in the village, a mime artist, Lisa, whose last name I don't know. What's Lisa's last name? Somebody know? Thompson? Johnson. Okay, Lisa Johnson. And this is sort of, this is a much more recent song. It was sort of an evolution from that last song. I joined a women's spirituality group a few years ago. And what that has drawn on, though my tradition remains Christian and that's still central and very important to me, what it has been so enhanced by what I've learned from my women's spirituality group and the teachings of Starhawk, from the native religions, from the Wicca tradition, getting in touch with a lot of roots of women's spirituality, which had somehow been censored out through the years of my own Christian tradition. So I learned to value and be connected to the earth and earth images in ways that I never had before. So this is the song that came out of that, and it's called Spirit Song. And I'll just close with this, and I want to thank you for being, as usual, an absolutely incredible audience. There's just nothing like playing for Holden Village. And thank you all so much.
Woman, she was old as the sun. Took me back to where it all had begun. She said, love burned you till your soul was on fire. You called it love, well, I call it desire. Spirit of the East, bid you welcome, spirit of the sun. We cast a circle now from west to north. We weave a magic web where dreams took my hand and led me to my birth. Love is a seed, she said, it's all within you. Love the darkness, let it nurture you.
Okay, one more. You talked me into it. I'm so easy. I had a friend who had cancer. And she was going through therapy. And We weren't sure at all if she was going to make it. And I went, I suppose, with my own naivete, thinking I would go and visit her and cheer her up, and learned what maybe many of you who have worked with people who are dying or very ill, that I learned such lessons from her. I'm happy to report she made it through. She is still alive and well. Her prognosis is good. Cancer is beatable. It's called Nothing's More Important, and there's a chorus I'd love for you to join me on. I went out walking with a friend yesterday. She was laughing and smiling all the way. I'd come to comfort, she had almost lost her life, but instead she had a few things to say. And she said, nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. Want to try that chorus with me? Nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. Cancer got my mother, and it almost got me. No way to know, it might get me yet. But my body's been rocking in the love of my friends, and it's a lesson I'll never forget. And she said, nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. What seemed important just a short month ago seems like nothing, just dust in the wind. And I thank heaven for each new day of life. It may seem simple, but I'll say it again. And she said, nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. And she said, nothing's more important than love in the world. Nothing's more important than love. When it's all said and done and there's no place to run, nothing's more important than love. Nothing's more important than love.